Hey, welcome back, everyone. I am Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, where we love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We're in lesson five, and this is day five. It's like I got day four of our study. It's like I get a little zap, and I forget literally what I just looked at before I started with the record button. It's lesson five, day four of our study, and we're in chapter five. That's why I was going to say day five. But anyway, we're in chapter five of Esther. Grab your Bible and join us. If I'm just popping into your screen, welcome. Join us. This is fun. We're going to go through a really cool book of the Bible named Esther today and a fascinating chapter five of Esther. Grab your Bible. Let's go ahead and pray and get started. God, we thank you for our time together right now. Thank you for your love for us and the power of your word that changes us from the inside out. Go before us now in our study in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's dig into the word. Let me switch screens so you can see what I'm seeing, which is that. Hi, lesson five, day four. Don't forget, you can get this on the jennifergrichmond.com website and just download it and listen and follow along and watch it and enjoy it right there. All right, so as always, we open with prayer and then we dive into the word by memorizing it and writing it. We are working through Psalm 42. We've been memorizing the entire chapter throughout the course of this series, Faithful and Fearless, and now we're in lesson five, and we're in the fifth chunk of this chapter, verses 9 and 10. Let's say that together. Stand as you say it, sit, read along, listen along, whatever you're doing. If you're multitasking, let's do it. Psalm. So we're going to do that in a minute. Psalm 42, 9 and 10. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Write that in your box right there. And let's go ahead and read Esther 5, 1 through 5. And we're going to meditate through Proverbs today. And then we'll move through our questions together. So Esther 5, 1 through 5. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's quarters, while the king was sitting on his royal throne inside the throne room opposite the entrance to the palace. And when the king saw Esther standing in the court, she won favor in his sight. And he held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? And it shall be given to you, even to half of my kingdom." And Esther said, "If it please the king, let the king and Haman come today to a feast that I have prepared for the king." Then the king asked, "Bring Haman quickly, so that we may do as Esther has asked." So the king and Haman came to the feast that Esther had prepared. Short and sweet, little passage today. Let's take a look over at Proverbs chapter 21. We want to meditate on this and get the words of this proverb in our mind and heart. Actually, let me go ahead and fuel up with some water before I read, because there's quite a few verses in this chapter. As always, if I selected a passage for us to meditate on, it's because God brought it to my mind as I was writing out the study for you. And although there's a couple key verses, several key verses in this, I'm going to go ahead and read the entire proverb. Why not, right? Proverbs are fascinating and important and easily digestible and great for us left-brain thinkers, too, who like things in a very linear if-then. They just go from this line straight to that line concept. Here we go. As I'm reading, as we're meditating on this, I want you to be thinking of the scene going on right now. Esther and the king and Mordecai and Haman and everything that's going on in Susa and beyond in these 127 provinces and the situation that's happening. Ready? The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin. And maybe you're like me and you're meditating and you're thinking along as I'm reading this and you're thinking of a person and you're attaching a name to each one of these little proverbs. Continue to do that. As I read, think Haman. Wow, yeah. Ooh, Mordecai. Yeah, Mordecai. Esther. Yep, that's Esther. Ooh, King Ahasuerus, that is the king. And then think beyond that. Think about yourself. Think about how this applies to you as well. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. The violence of the wicked will sweep them away because they refuse to do what is just. The way of the guilty is crooked, but the conduct of the pure is upright. It is better to live in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no mercy in his eyes. When a scoffer is punished, the simple become wise. When a wise man is instructed, he gains knowledge. The righteous one observes the house of the wicked. He throws the wicked down to ruin. Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. A gift in secret averts anger, and a concealed bribe strong wrath. When justice is done, it is a joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. One who wanders away from the good sense will wanders from the way of good sense will rest in the assembly of the dead. Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. Whoever loves wine and oil will not be rich. The wicked is a ransom for the righteous and the traitor for the upright. It is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. Precious treasure and oil in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. The desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. All day long he craves and craves, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with evil intent? The false witness will perish, but the word of a man who hears will endure. A wicked man puts on a bold face, but the upright gives thought to his ways. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Right? Wow. I mean, couldn't you just meditate on just one of those and we get 31 of these? This is one of those Proverbs that you could read one each day of the month and just loop it and loop it and loop it. It's conveniently organized into 31 verses. Isn't that cool? All right, so we've read, we've meditated, we've written. Don't forget to write Esther. I forgot to write the word write in there. So write Esther chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Don't forget to do that. When I go home tonight, I'm going to fix that and stick the word write in there for the next edition of this. Oh my goodness gracious. All right, so here we go. Dwell in the word. Why is that showing up? I don't know. Is that showing up on your screen too? On my screen, it says the BibleGateway.com little logo right there. Anyway, chapter 4. Review. Here we go. What did Mordecai insist would happen if Esther didn't act? Well, if, what does he say? If you keep or if you remain silent, he says, then, what does he say next? Relief and deliverance is going to come from another place. If you don't speak, relief and deliverance will arise from another place. The certainty of action. You and your father's house will perish. And his call to action. Who knows? You have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is his bold, powerful, well-organized, impassioned speech message sent back to Esther. All right. So what has Esther been doing for the past 3 days? Well, she's been fasting. Kind of answered that for you in the next I know. Sometimes I just give you these little freebies, right? All right. So what's she been fasting from? What does it say? She has been fasting from food and drink, I think, right? Hold on. Yeah, right. Food and drink. Yeah, food and water. Sorry. Food and water, specifically food and water. So why didn't she just go to the king immediately when she heard about this edict? But isn't she just, oh my gosh, you're going to do, what's going to happen? What? And go straight off to the king. Well, she takes time. Actually, do I want to tell you what I think about this or do I want to hear from you first? See, well, here's the deal. Here's the dealio, people. Listen, I know that some of you do the Bible study along with me. Just listen along, write down what I'm writing. Good job, Jennifer. You write it down. But what I really, really want you to do is be a student of the word on your own. And I know sometimes you don't have time, and so you just listen real quick and write down my thoughts. Rephrase and make them your own. I feel like it shortchanges a little bit your thought process. And I'm a good teacher. I try to be. I don't want to do that. I want to think. So am I going to tell you my thoughts on this, or am I going to make you think it through on your own? Why didn't you just go to the king immediately? I mean, this really is your thought process. It doesn't say it on the Bible, really. But I want you to tell me. I don't think I'm going to tell you on this one. I'll tell you what. Because I want to engage with you on it, and I really do want to hear what you have to say. When you get to this point, if you're hearing my voice right now, would you do me a favor and just message me, post it in the YouTube video, the podcast, or the Facebook page, whatever it is, and tell me what you think right here. Why didn't she just go to the king immediately when she heard about this terrible edict? Tag me in it so I make sure I see it, because if YouTube automatically gives me a note, but Facebook doesn't. And the Dwelling Richly study does as well, but I have to kind of find it. But tag me in it somehow, like nudge me, let me know, because I want to engage with you on this one. Why didn't she just go to the king immediately when she heard about this terrible edict? Why? What was the purpose of Esther's and Mordecai's fasting? I want you to tell me that as well. I don't think I'll tell you my answer. I want to hear what you have to say. Riddle me this. What do you have to say about this one? Okay. This one's going to definitely be something I can't answer for you. What are urgent needs facing you or someone that you love today? I would love to have prayer for my stepdad. You know, my mother just died, and I mean, I'd love to have prayer for me too, but I really want to think about him. He's grieving in a different way for a different loss. Would you lift up my stepdad today? It's urgent. I need him. I want him to be well and whole and joy-filled. He loves the Lord, but he needs that. Excuse me. He needs that encouragement. And I need water again. Oh, it's so dry today. So, I don't know. Maybe that's not an urgent need, but it's definitely something that's been pressing on my heart. Pray for my son, too. I love my son, Jonathan. And he loves me, and he's a good kid. Jonathan's not walking with the Lord right now, and I'd love to see his life turn around. This is something that I have fasted for before. What are urgent needs that you have today? I'd like to hear from you. If you want to share them privately, you certainly can do that. How about this next question? Have you fasted about these? I just shared with you briefly that, yeah, I have. And but maybe you haven't. Maybe you've never fasted about the thing that's pressing, that's urgent, that's weighing you down. Describe Esther's actions. And I'd like to hear from you. What do you have to say about that? Like, why? Why haven't you fasted? Describe Esther's actions. Imagine her emotions in chapter 5, verse 1. It says, on the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's quarters while the king was sitting on his royal throne inside the throne room opposite the entrance to the palace. Wow. You imagine how she might feel? Is her heart pounding in her chest right now? Right. Highlight the comma. Yes. The actual comma in your Bible, at the end of the first phrase in chapter 5, verse 2. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, comma, highlight that. I marked mine in big circle and put a big highlight when this whole thought process occurred to me as I was preparing this Bible study. And that's exactly how I do prepare these, by the way. I write for you an outline, essentially, of my own personal study. This is how I approached the word. This is you walking on the path with me. I've literally just done it right before you, and now you're doing it. So this isn't me just like coming up with little questions. This is me just literally giving you a peek into my little brain, like how I thought about it while I was reading. What occurred to me as I was reading this is I see this comma. That comma, it pauses us as we read. And with this waiting looms the weight of this tense moment. At that comma, the king looks up and sees Esther. At that comma, only two options are available, and they're summed up either in Esther's words, "If I perish, I perish," or in Mordecai's words, "For such a time as this." If you want to, take that comma and draw a line in your Bible. This is why I emphasize getting out an actual Bible. And I'm not a school teacher. I'm not going to be checking your Bible when you come back to Bible study. Or maybe I will. You can show me. I want to see that connection point from that comma to the words, those phrases. If I perish, I perish, and for such a time as this. Surely even Esther herself paused, breathed, and rehearsed her own words in her mind. If I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. If I... And then the king does what? And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, comma, if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. But not before the author makes sure we know. All right, so here we go. She won favor in his sight, comma. What happened in his heart? And he held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. We have this dramatic, beautiful, scary moment. This comma helps us to see. What does he do? What does the king do? He holds out the scepter. But not before the author makes sure what had happened emotionally in his heart. She found favor in his sight. Do you see that the author deliberately like flips that around? The king does what? And the king felt how? Because it says in this order, she won favor in his sight, and he held out to Esther the golden scepter. Pretty dramatic, isn't it? All right, so from Proverbs 21, from the passage that I asked you to meditate on today, what insight does this chapter give you into the moment, into this moment, into Esther's life? Now, I feel badly because I know you come to these Bible studies and you expect me to go through all the answers, but I really want to just hear from you on these. Maybe I will share with you what I wrote. But anyway, what insight does this chapter give you into this moment in Esther's life? Well, that opening verse, the king's hearts are in the hand of God. You see, God was moving in this moment to give favor to Esther for such a time as this. What does God have in his hand? What does he move? The king's heart. What does the king offer to Esther? What does she ask for in return? Anything she wishes is what he offers, up to half the kingdom. Interestingly, this is an idiom. Go look up Mark chapter 6, verse 23 for another example of this kind of language. It's just a figure of speech. It wouldn't have literally meant up half the kingdom, like they're going to sit there and dole it out like they're in divorce court, right? You get this half and I get that half. I get you up to half. And they're counting the horses, eeny, meeny, miny, and all that. No, it's a figure of speech. I'm going to give you a lot. I'm going to give you a big, dream big, lady. You ask, you get it, basically. And what does she ask in return? A feast. I want a feast. Notice the verb tense in chapter 5, verse 4, when Esther mentions the feast. What does this say to you about Esther's confidence in coming before the king? All right, take a look at it. Chapter 5, verse 4. And Esther said, sorry, let me scroll that a little bit easier for you to see. And Esther said, if it please the king, let the king and Haman come today to a feast that I have prepared. That's the verb tense. Why should that shock you? Well, it shocked me when I read it, reread it, read it, and then the third or fourth time through, I went, wait, I have prepared a feast? She's going to the king and she might die. She's already got a feast prepared. Not that I will prepare, now that I know you're not going to kill me. She prepared it. I have prepared. I mean, think about it. No one's throwing a feast together in you know, minutes. What does this say to you about her confidence? She's flat out confident. She's committed. She's making her move. She's moving forward. It's beautiful. I love it. All right. Let me go ahead and close. And I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you thought about today's lesson. I loved it. This made me happy. All right. But I want to hear from you. What did you think about it? Let me go ahead and close with this reflection. Anyone looking at the circumstances of Esther's rise from orphaned Jewess to honored queen would think she is one lucky girl. If this story took place today, she might even have her own Instagram account and fashion line. What the world may see is a type of a Cinderella story Mordecai saw as something far more serious. He couldn't have known for what purpose precisely Esther was being elevated, but he knows all along it was significant. How would it change your behavior today if you live with that kind of confidence and seriousness about where God is leading you? Your job? Your family? Your encounters? Perhaps they are not just things that are happening to you. Perhaps you are being placed for such a time as this. What if you lived each day knowing that God moves hearts of kings, he's moving the hearts of those around you as well. Consider seriously taking time to fast for wisdom in your circumstances. Fast to know and do the will of God. Fast to demonstrate your faithfulness and reliance on God. Fast also to plead your case before God, your Heavenly Father, who, as we read in Psalm 84, withholds no good thing from the righteous. All right. Well, thank you for being with me, as always, here in our lesson today. And I really do want to hear from you. Make sure you leave a comment. Tell me what you're thinking. And I know I say it at the end, and maybe some of you don't even get to the end, so you never even hear me say this. But I know I say it. And some of you still have yet to leave even one comment. And I know you're watching because you've told me that you're watching. So take a minute. This is the day. Leave me a comment. Let me know what you thought about today's lesson, any insights that you have, and maybe an observation that will help others with some insight into today's passage. And know, as always, that you are loved and prayed for. And I look forward to being back here with you again real soon. Bye-bye for now.